Good morning. Good morning to those of you who are here in the sanctuary and those who are listening to us online or listening to us via recording. We want to extend, just as we have just extended our appreciation to our veterans. And of course, today is the Marine Corps birthday. 244 years we've been around. The birthplace of the Marine Corps is in Philadelphia, in a place called Tun's Tavern. And so the Marine Corps, that's where we started. That was our birthplace. And so today we celebrate 244 years of that service. This morning, I want us to, we're going to look in Philippians 1, 27, 1 verses 27 through 30. That's where we'll be at this morning. That's where we're going to start anyway. And, oh man, that jam. Okay. All right. Verse 27 starts this way. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Father God, this morning, we celebrate this time together, and we acknowledge those who have served, who have tossed their personal and things that would benefit them, they've put themselves aside to serve our country. And we thank you for them. But I also remember the veterans of old, those your disciples, those veterans who served, who put their life in harm's way for the gospel. So this morning I pray that you would allow me to share your word in a way that honors you. In name I pray, amen. As I've said, tomorrow is Veterans Day, a day to honor those who have fought and served, who served our country to protect our freedoms and to protect our homes. We want to say how much we appreciate your dedication and your willingness and your sacrifice for this country and its people. We live in an area that respects the men and women a great deal. One of the things I love about Palmer and the Wasilla residents, we have a very patriotic view of things here. We have biblical values in this area, in this Mat-Su area, and I can attest to it from a personal standpoint, from what I've seen. This is probably in one of the most patriotic places that I've ever lived, and I call it my home, and I'm proud to call it my home, where where people will see servicemen and women and acknowledge them if they're wearing some type of military garb and say, hey, thank you, I appreciate you. And it's just not on Veterans Day. It's like any day you walk into one of the local stores and it doesn't matter what age. And that's probably the thing that gets me the most is that it's not just those who are of an older generation. It's the young ones. It's the Gen X's are even saying, hey, I appreciate the sacrifice that you made. And I find that a lot here. Even the patriotism in yesterday, I was wanting to get the words to I Pledge Allegiance, as we said that earlier today. And I'm like, well, I better put it on a slide because maybe not everybody knows the Pledge of Allegiance because it's not said in schools anymore. And then as I was doing that, I was informed that it is said in the schools here in the Palmer area where kids are saying the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And so to me, that just further shows to me the patriotism that this community has. When I think about the privilege of serving in the military, I always think of the big idea that I think of the Marines and the sailors, the airmen, the soldiers. We believe in the idea that something is bigger than ourselves. We have to believe that. And what we are doing is important. What we do together to accomplish something that we couldn't accomplish on our own, something that we must accomplish together. There is a greater good that drives us, those who have served, that drives us through combat and the training that we go through to be ready for combat. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that movie Saving Private Ryan. Maybe you have seen that movie. Can you believe it? That movie came out in 1998. It's 20 years old, just about 21 years old, that movie. It just seems just like yesterday. Steven Spielberg, he did an excellent job of directing that movie. The movie is fictional, but the account of Captain Miller is based on a true story, the true story of the Nealon brothers, Edward, Preston, Robert, and Frederick from upstate New York. This movie was put together so well when they first had the screening of it. They brought those who were on the beaches on DJ who were there, and they brought them into the theater. And that's when, 20 years ago, the Adobe Sound, DBX, was just first sitting in the theaters. And there were the men and women that they brought, mainly men that were there present on the beach. Some of them, it was so realistic that it threw them in a shell shock. They felt themselves, the rounds going over their heads. They were in their chairs and then found themselves on the floor. Some of them couldn't get past the first. And if you've seen that movie, it starts off on the beaches there, and it's rough. And what's depicted there was so true to life that some of them just got up and walked out. In another interview, they said, I thought I was over it. I shouldn't have come to this movie. I appreciate Stephen doing this, but I shouldn't have come to this movie because it just put them back there on the beach. This movie is during World War II. The Defense Department receives notice, and if you haven't seen this movie, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I've got to share part of this. It's part of the message this morning. So. In that, the Department of Defense receives notice that a family currently has four sons serving in the war. Three of the brothers have been killed. The fourth son is somewhere in France. This mother is going to get this message that all three sons have died in war at one time. It depicts the scene of this car coming up this the driveway with a star on it. And when a military vehicle pulls up and you see an officer get out and a chaplain get out, it's not going to be good news. So the army decides that no mother should suffer the tragedy of losing four sons. So they send a team to go save Private Ryan. The team must overcome countless obstacles, not to mention the enemy in the search of Private Ryan. Along the way, members of their team, some of them are wounded, many of them are killed. They begin to ask the question, why is the life of this private? Now, for those of us who have been in the military, a private or an E1, you're like, come on, what value does a private have? And that's what was going on in their mind. Why is this private more important than the lives that are being sacrificed to bring him home? Why is his life so much more important than theirs? And Tom Hanks, he's serving as a captain. He's leading this outfit in search of Private Ryan. He does his best to maintain the focus of his men. He tells them that it's not their place to question, but rather to accept the mission and to carry out their orders. I think those of us who have served have heard that many a times. It's not yours to question who or why, but just to do or die. Their duty is to their country, and their country has asked them to save Private Ryan. Finally, they locate Private Ryan, and they tell him, we have orders to get you home. But Private Ryan, like most privates, doesn't want to leave his unit. Private Ryan says, hey, I've got my unit's orders, and we're here. We're here to defend this bridge, to keep the enemy from coming across it. This is a very strategic point. And although I'm grieving my brother's loss, I can't go home now. I have a duty. And along that, the men there that came to save Private Ryan, they're like, come on, Private. You know, we've come all this way. We've lost people. We've lost our team in order to save you. But in the mix there, they see that Private Ryan, he's a good private. He's a good soldier. And the captain and the sergeant first class, they say, hey, all right, we'll help him defend this bridge. But we've got to do everything we can to keep him alive. We will do everything. That's our mission. So, bottom line is, Private Ryan, he didn't feel justified in leaving. So, a bloody battle assumes, which many lives are lost. Tom Hanks, who plays the captain, that whole entire outfit, I think there's only two remaining from the original unit, that team in the movie, live along with Private Ryan. There's a touching scene at the end. Tom Hanks is dying. Private Ryan comes to help, but the captain tells him, he says, go on. He goes, but then he says into Private Ryan's ear, he goes, earn this. Earn this. In other words, go home and live such a way that you deserve the life sacrificed to save you. In our Bible text this morning, Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians, and he tells them, earn this. Live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's think about that for a moment. Living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that it's new newsflash to any of you sitting here, but Jesus died so you could live. God the Father sacrificed his only Son so that you could live. Not just live, but live a life that is contending the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, that is an awesome calling and a responsibility. One that's been laid upon each and every one of you who are breathing today. Are you doing that? And what exactly does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're going to look at this couple of things here. First of all, it means to stand firm in one spirit. That 27th verse there in Philippians, it says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whatever I come and see you, and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. One of the most difficult things of any group is to stay united in one spirit. It doesn't matter whether you're a political party. It doesn't matter whether you're a group or athletic team, a school board, a church board, a member of the church body. Standing in one spirit sometimes becomes or can be difficult. Why? Because it means putting oneself aside. Because we're always, truth be told, we don't say it, but we're like, I want it my way. I want it like this. That's the number one thing. Paul requests of the Philippian church is that they stand firm within one spirit of Jesus Christ. Guess what? The message is for us today is still the same. Stand firm. Stand firm in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes, Christians, children of God, there are going to be times that we're going to disagree. I imagine maybe even in our business meeting today at 5 o'clock, those who are assembled, maybe all of us may not agree on every single thing. What makes the church different from other organizations, I believe, is that we don't do things on a personal preference. I would think that's the way we are. It's not about personal preference. We believe in allowing the Lord to lead us. It's not necessarily what Pastor JR wants. It's what the Lord wants. How would he want the children of God from Palmer Church of God to move forward in something? Together. Unified. Now, I don't know that our Father gets really intricate about, well, I want the walls purple. Well, I want the walls white. I don't think there should be any paint. I don't think that that too much concerns him. He cares about, what he cares about more importantly is how we treat one another. How are we treating one another? He wants to know that we care for one another. I know sometimes we have this mindset of being so right that you're wrong. I remember having a conversation with a young man. He was telling me about a conversation he was having with his girlfriend. And he was like, I know I'm right. I told her I was right. I know I'm right. I said to this young man, just because you're right doesn't mean you win. Standing firm in one's spirit means putting aside personal preferences and personal agendas to truly discover the Lord's leadership. Our veterans here today, those who are listening, they could talk about that kindred spirit that you have with those men and women that you served with, that you trained with, that you trust to have your back, those in your group, because they're as close as family. And the military trains you to put aside your personal needs and wants to protect the unit, to do what is best for the whole, not just yourself. This selfish attitude is key to being effective on the battlefield. It's also the kind of attitude that Jesus calls his disciples to demonstrate too. You're supposed to have a Christ-centered attitude. That same spirit in this movie, which is definitely true in real life, of Private Ryan, was the spirit of standing firm in the service of the United States. Like many who have served in our military, they never saw the completion. They didn't see the end of the mission. But they served faithfully. They've served faithfully to their last dying breath. They're committed to their duty. I think mainly because the military places a lot of emphasis on chain of command. And those of you who have served, you know about the chain of command. Oh my goodness. I think from day one when you're in boot camp, they teach you the chain of command. There's a chain of command right there in your platoon. You have the squad leaders, and then you have the guide, and then you have the drill instructors, and then you have the platoon commander, then you have the company commander, and you have the battalion commander. And depending on where you're at, then it goes up to squadron or division. And you're supposed to know, and then the Secretary of State, and then the Commander-in-Chief. You've got to know those names. Am I right? Those who have served you, you know you've got, that's part of the test. That's a test. You got to know everybody's name. The chain of command means something. Because without the chain of command in the heat of battle, if something gets broken, somebody else needs to say, okay, tag, you're it. If something happens to the person in charge, who's the next person who's in charge? And then that person needs to be able to pick up and continue to lead. With no chain of command, then there's chaos, and then the communication is lost. The same is said for Christians and churches. The chain of command is so important. We must be obedient in carrying out the mission of Jesus. And his orders, what are his orders? They're right here in God's word. If you want to know the commander-in-chief, the one I serve, the one you serve, all that he requires of us, there is no question. He's written it down. It's not subject to interpretation. Much like in the military, it is a part when we insert personal preferences and agenda that the chain of command and chaos gets broken. When we start saying, well, what the platoon commander really meant was that we're supposed to do this. Well, no, that's not what he meant. what do you call it, the commander's intent. We know what our commander, our God, we know what his intent is. Much like those who died serving in the military, we may never ultimately see the completion of our mission, but we must remain faithful. We must be dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ. We must stand firm in one spirit. What exactly does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel in Christ? Well, secondly, it means to strive together, side by side, with one mind. Once we stand firm, establish our ground within one spirit, we are then empowered to move forward side by side, one mind. In the military, there are times where you remain united, stand firm, and hold your ground. Battle strategy dictates that you stay put. Sometimes it's like, stay where you're at. Don't move. Don't say anything. Just stay put. Today, it's a Marine Corps birthday. I always watch The Sands of Iwo Jima on the Marine Corps birthday. And there's this scene where they're holding the line. They're spread thin. And there's a guy out there, somebody from the platoon who's been wounded. And this guy is wounded. And everybody knows it's him. This guy is wounded. He's like, strike. He's like, he's yelling, help me, help me. And they're like, we got to go out there and help him, Sarge. He goes, you stay put. He goes, we don't know who it is. It could be one of the enemies. It could be a decoy. Oh, I like this movie. He's like, then the guy said that's wounded. He goes, Sergeant Stryker. And then you see Sergeant Stryker, John Wayne, who's playing. He's like, oh, geez, that is one of our men. And then the men are like, that's him. We've got to go. He's like, stay put. He goes, well, I'm not listening to you. I'm going anyway. And John Wayne walks around in his rifle. Well, you'll be the first one. Okay, I went on a rabbit trail. Bottom line is that we so it's times that we need to stay put. We need to protect what we've got. There are also times when we move forward. There are times when we fight side by side. The only way Tom Hanks successfully carries out his mission to save Private Ryan was to keep his men thriving side by side. If they weren't united, they would not have succeeded or completed their mission. And when you're a leader, you'll do just about anything. Sometimes you'll do something uncanny that you know will bring everyone together, and to remind them that they're fighting for one cause, one purpose. The same is true to Christian life. Jesus never intended for his people to get down in fighting holes in order to hold their ground and stay in one place, to have just a defensive position. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16:15, he says to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And what do the disciples do? Well, in that 20th verse, in the 16th chapter of Mark, he says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Jesus told his team, his 12-man team, to go. It means going out and do this. It means striving side by side. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't retreat whenever times get hard. Oh, somebody called me a Bible beater today. Come on. Stand up. Be firm. We don't serve a weak God. neither should we be weak. Be committed to the mission and each other. When it comes to living a life worthy of the gospel of Christ, it's all about we. It's us together. It's about going out to rescue others so they can be we. Thirdly, it's about the privilege of suffering for him. Apostle Paul often speaks of his present suffering, and he says it is a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. Some of you may wonder, what's the big privilege in suffering? Pain and suffering are not aspects of life that we're willing to volunteer. I don't know. I know for those of us who served, boot camp was painful. They used to say, pain is weakness leaving the body. And I always make fun of we always make fun of each other's services, sister services, but we've always got each other's back. So I always pick on the Air Force about their boot camp. The hardest thing was going from silverware to plasticware, you know, when they eat their meals. And I give my grandson a hard time. And we love each other. But there is pain, though. There is pain. There is suffering going through recruit training. Sometimes there's pain and suffering in going through a specialty school. Maybe it's airborne school. Maybe it's a special training. Maybe it's dive school. Maybe it's ranger school. Maybe it's going through combat CCT, PJs. There's some pain in that. Not only physically, but mentally there's pain. It's something about going through the hard stuff. You know what it's like? You know what I'm talking about? When you've gone through something really tough, but you go through it together. But then once you go through it, you're on the other side. You're like, whoo, man. I can't believe it. We got through that. Or, I'm still alive. And you wrap your arm around a comrade. Said, we got through this. Whether it was in training or in combat. I think every veteran will attest to that. You too have experienced pain. All of us have. No need to illustrate that. We've gone through pain, each of us. No one enjoys suffering, but there is such a thing as counting it a privilege to suffer for the cause that is bigger than you. Paul counted it a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. Our veterans counted it a privilege to have suffered for freedom, and it takes courage to do both those things. It takes commitment. It takes belief that what I'm doing is more important than what happens to me. Question is, do you feel that way about your Christian faith? I wonder if another generation being raised up that will be willing to make that sacrifice. Men and women, are we raising our kids? Are we raising our children to be selfish, selfless? Are our kids and grandkids, do they practice Christian principles? I've said it before, what your kids see you doing, they will mimic. The easy one, okay. Dad at the sink shaving his face. The next thing you know, you see that little guy like putting soap on his face. I'm like you, Daddy. Little girls, moms are putting makeup on, and next thing you know, your daughter has a tube of the good lipstick. and they're putting it on their lips all wrong, and you just kind of like laugh. Well, not that one, honey, but they're imitating you. Everything you do and say, if mommy and daddy are doing it, then it's okay. But sometimes the things that we do are not okay. And I don't want to lean on that, but I want to lean on the good things. What are we as parents doing? What are we doing, husbands and wives, to set an example to our kids? How often do our kids see us parents praying together? Mommy and daddy are praying. They'll remember that. How many? I just challenge you, husbands. I challenge you, husbands. No, I'm going to get in trouble. But what would it look like if you did a Bible study with your wife? I'm not getting good eyes. What would it look like, you as the man of the house, leading a Bible study once a week? Doesn't have to be every day. You can start off once a week. Hey, babe, we got this study thing. We're going to look at Colossians, and we're going to do it together. What kind of example do you think when your kids see you, when you opening up the Bible, when dad is leading the way and mom and dad are in the Bible, remote controls have been set aside, Facebook is in another room. I don't mean to pick on Facebook. Social media is in another room. But in the room where you and your bride are at, you are opening up the Bible together, and your kids see you doing Bible study. Now, some of you are saying, my kids are gone. Okay. I don't care. I know some of you are like, oh, okay, I don't have any kids. I'm out. No, you're not off the hook. I can say honestly, I feel without a doubt, I can say this. Your wife is wanting you to lead and lead well and say, honey, we're going to do this. Not because Pastor JR kind of like called me out, but I just think this is something we should do. It'll be good for us in our relationship. Not only like this, but like this. Not just horizontally between me and my bride, but vertical, us coming together and worshiping our Heavenly Father. And our kids see that. I do know that that's happening. I know that it's happening here. Because I have a little kid who comes up to me who's not even 5 years old. And he comes up to me, Pastor JR, I want to tell you my verse. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This little, he's not even 5 years old. And then the next week he comes, Pastor JR, I know a new verse. Because the parents are being intentional and making sure that their kids learn the Word of God. That they'll be part of the generation that carries it on to the next generation. Veterans often speak about their pride in having worn the uniform, their pride of having served their country. It's not necessarily like, look at me, you know, I look cool in my dress, blues, and tennis shoes. It's not that. It's not. We're not seeking that. We're most of us are not badge hunters, and those who are in the military, they know what I'm talking about. In other words, people are just doing things just so they can get another ribbon. They don't care how they get the ribbon. Maybe they'll do the least amount possible to get the ribbon, but they get the ribbon. And those are in the minority. Those who serve, who have served and wear the uniform, they wear it proudly because they are part of a unified force that stood firm in one spirit. They fought side by side with their comrade. And they consider it a privilege. I consider it a privilege to have made that sacrifice because it's bigger than me and it's bigger than the ones of us who served. Paul's intention was to encourage the Philippian church in the face of persecution. They were suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and that's where the privilege lies. When we confess our faith, when we state with integrity of our belief, with integrity, doing something when somebody's not watching you, doing something when there's no other Christians around, you're doing the Christian thing, where you're doing the God thing, you're doing the Jesus thing. When nobody else is looking, you're doing the right thing. That's integrity. We've got to stick side by side with one another. And when one is not feeling well, we come alongside that other one. I can't. This week we've got kids that are sick, and parents. When you see your kids sick, you don't want them to be sick. And you're like, oh, I'd trade places with you right now. I'd trade places with you right now. You're so sick. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ said. Oh, my kids, you're so sick. You're sick with sin. Here, I'm going to take your place. Because what you're sick with, you're supposed to die from. Let me close. In being committed, there is some suffering involved. In the movie of Saving Private Ryan, it ends by flashing forward some 50 years now, when Private Ryan was some 18 years old. Now he's some 58 years old and a good 60 years old. And he brings his family with him. He has his wife and his kids and his grandkids. And they go to a cemetery that is filled with white crosses. Those killed in World War II, they're all aligned. And he makes his way through, tears rolling down his face. And he sees himself standing there in front of Tom Hanks' character, Captain Miller, remembering all the things that took place in France. And with tears rolling down his face, he turns to his wife and he says, "Did I earn this? Did I earn this?" And she, not really knowing what he's talking about, she's like, "Oh," like most wives, they're like, "Oh, silly, of course you're God. Of course you're a good man." Every day, and I think if we wait till the end, then it's too late. But then I think that every day, I believe every day we should be able, you should look in the mirror and say, and ask the question, did I live a life today deserving the life of Jesus Christ? Did I live a life worthy of the gospel? Will you please stand?